It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everybody. I want to begin with a little bit of breaking news this morning of particular interest if you're in East Harlem. The fire department reports a major emergency response in East Harlem at this hour. There is a possible explosion and building collapse around Park Avenue and 114th Street between 114th and 117th Streets. No immediate reports of injuries, but officials are on the scene, and Metro North has suspended service on the Harlem, Hudson, and New Haven lines, at least for now, we are told. And, of course, WNYC is monitoring the situation and will bring you any details as they emerge. If anybody happens to be in that area right now or has any knowledge of what may be going on East 114th through 117th Street, around Park Avenue, with respect to this possible explosion and building collapse, please do call us at 212-433-WNYC, either for on-air or to report details to our news department, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. There are reports of residents hearing a large explosion in an apartment building around 9 o'clock this morning. Fire was reported in the building. Residents were seeing smoke in the area. I'm seeing on our monitor smoke and fire in the area. So if you know anything, and otherwise we'll keep you posted on this report of a possible explosion and building collapse causing this fire around Park Avenue between 114th and 117th Streets, Metro North has suspended service on the Harlem, Hudson, and New Haven lines. For now, 212-433-WNYC if you're on the scene or know anything about it, and we'll keep you posted. So as Mayor de Blasio has rolled out his cabinet appointees, I keep wondering, what about a parks commissioner? Why don't we have a parks commissioner yet? This is such a big deal job, if you don't realize it. Robert Moses was the parks commissioner. That was his power base. Henry Stern was the parks commissioner, all these power brokers. I'm glad to see that Chris Smith from New York Magazine has been wondering, too. He wondered on the New York Mag website yesterday and joins me now. Hi, Chris. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Happy to help.
And you wrote that the appointment of the new parks commissioner is an intriguing test of the larger de Blasio progressive experiment. Why put it in that context?
Well, because during the campaign, candidate de Blasio embraced an idea by State Senator Daniel Squadron that the big private conservancies that have sprung up over the past couple of decades to run Central Park, Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and have grown quite wealthy, that those park conservancies should be compelled to send 20% of their operating budgets to a parks department fund that would pay for improvements in overlooked or neglected or parks in poorer neighborhoods. And that's a explicit political agenda that hasn't really existed in the parks department before. And it's complicated the search for a new parks commissioner, both because a lot of the relevant candidates come out of a conservancy background, and because the candidates wonder if this is going to be a litmus test, if they're going to be bound by this. And there are questions about the legality of it as well.
So here's some context around that proposal. Last year, the hedge fund billionaire John Paulson, as you well know, gave $100 million to the Central Park Conservancy and specifically instructed that the money not be distributed to any other park, correct?
Right. And I remember talking to Bloomberg administration officials at the time who were unhappy about this. You know, it was a condition of the gift. They tried to get him to distribute it differently or at least allow for some of it to be spent elsewhere. And he wouldn't budge. And it very much highlighted the disparity between the marquee parks, that if you live near Central Park or Prospect Park, you know, you've seen great improvements over the past couple of decades. But if, like my son, you play baseball in Red Hook or Colonel Young Park up in Harlem, they're a mess, and they're dependent on the Parks Department budget. Parks Department doesn't have its own dedicated capital budget. They have an operational budget, which, you know, they get by with, but there's a lot of money that they could use.
I want to play a clip of Mayor Bloomberg's Parks Commissioner, Adrian Benepe, from the exit interview that we did with him when he was leaving office in June of 2012. On this precise issue of what about all the regular parks all over the city, while the Central Park Conservancy, some degree Prospect Park Conservancy, and a few other marquee parks get all this private money cascading into them. Really, I'd asked him, what's your own favorite accomplishment of your own as Parks Commissioner? And this is the way he responded.
I'm going to avoid picking a favorite child. I'll say what I'm most proud of is the fact that, you know, if you look across the five boroughs, there have been dramatic improvements in parks in every neighborhood and waterfront parks built in every borough. So it's just the vast scale of park creation that's unparalleled going back to the 1930s. And the big difference is that we're doing it with city funds here. That was done in the 1930s with federal work relief funds during the Depression. And also the courage of Mayor Bloomberg to continue investing city capital dollars in huge amounts, even in the teeth of the economic recession. You know, the idea that you keep building, this is precisely the time when you build because the city has to remain vital and attractive and with great quality of life.
Adrian Benepe on this show as he was leaving his position that he had most of the Bloomberg years as Parks Commissioner. Have you done enough reporting on the parks to say if he was grossly exaggerating or on point enough that, you know, there has been, despite not having the riches of, you know, the wealthy donors, that they've made great strides in the last 12 years with respect to ordinary parks?
Well, the Bloomberg administration, to their credit, did make parks a priority and did make great strides throughout the city. But it's not perfect. There were, you know, glaring imbalances. Still, you know, there are plenty of parks, too many parks that have been neglected. That's one of the things that's going on here. You know, de Blasio has said in a lot of his appointments he's going to take whatever time necessary to find the right person. And someone in his administration said to me the other day that they'll take these stories about him being too slow to appoint people forever as long as they get the right people. They don't really care. But parks are not as high a priority to him as pre-K, as criminal justice. So it's important to him. He wants to use it in the larger equality agenda, but it's something that he's, you know, had further down on his list, certainly, than Bloomberg.
Chris Smith from New York Magazine wondering, why no Parks Commissioner yet for Mayor de Blasio? I want to just take a minute, Chris, and take a couple of these calls that are coming in from East Harlem on this apparent explosion and possible building collapse around 116th Street and Park Avenue, or being told Park Avenue between 114th and 117th Street. Again, what we know is that Metro North has suspended service, which runs right by there on the Harlem, Hudson, and New Haven lines temporarily. We'll bring you more details as they emerge. There are no reports at this point of injury or deaths, but we're waiting for details. And some of you are calling in from around that area as eyewitnesses or ear witnesses. So we'll take a few of those calls right now at 212-433-WNYC. And how about Lisa in East Harlem at 120th and 5th? Hi, Lisa. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, I heard the explosion, and it was so intense that it rocked my building, which is a 1900 building. I was very frightened. All the birds took off, and what I don't understand is why it was 10 or 15 minutes before I heard sirens and before I heard the helicopters. The helicopters are crisscrossing at this moment.
Thank you very much. And that must have been intense, an intense explosion if it was 116th and Park and
it
you're 120th and 5th Avenue. That's a good number of blocks away. Lisa, thank you for the report. And Charlene also calling from the area. Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
Where are you?
Now I'm at home, but I was walking outside of the building on 116th and 5th Avenue when it happened. saw the explosion, and it's definitely above 116th Street. So
you think it's higher than 116th Street where the explosion was?
Yeah, definitely higher than well, it's between 116th and whatever 120th, between those streets. So it's not below 116th
right.
Street.
Okay. And you were at 116th and 5th Avenue, so you didn't see this take place. You heard it a few blocks down around Park,
right? I turned around. There was a huge cloud of black smoke, and then it turned into white smoke. So, yeah, I was right outside when I heard the big explosion. So I just turned around, saw the smoke, and that was it.
I'm glad you're okay. Thank you for checking in with us. Patrick at 116th and Lex, is that right, Patrick?
Yes.
Hi.
Actually the explosion is at it's between 116th and 117th on Park. It's the building in between those two streets on the west side.
Do you know that building? Do you have any idea what that building is?
You know, to tell you the truth, you know, I assume there was a building there. But, you know, I went to see it and, you know, whatever structure was there, totally gone. Hmm. And, you know, the buildings that are adjacent to it, the windows are blown out. It seems like even windows across the train track in those buildings, many of those are blown out. And contrary to the first caller, you know, I heard it totally, like, shocked me because I live right around the block. And when I went outside, I put on my sneakers and went outside. And by the time I got around the block, there were emergency responders there.
So. Patrick, thank you very much. And, of course, perception varies. Chris Smith, as a veteran reporter, I'm sure you can attest to this. When there are crimes, when there are emergencies, you know, you can do a Rashomon test on these things, and 10 different eyewitnesses will tell you 10 different things, and they all believe them.
Sure. There's a classic journalism class experiment, you know, where someone will take off their coat and leave the room, and then the teacher will ask all the students in the class what they just saw, and you'll get 20 different interpretations of a very simple act.
Let me get one more call in because this is from so far away. Rebecca on 152nd Street. Is that where
yes.
you are, Rebecca?
Yes, Brian.
And?
Well, I right about 9 o'clock, I was walking through my apartment and I was shook. I was just stopped right in my tracks. The whole building shook. There was a loud boom and the cat jumped off the table under the table into the bedroom, and it was very loud on 152nd near Riverside.
So all the way on the west side and as far north as 152nd, you're telling
exactly.
us your building shook?
I'm sorry?
Your building shook?
It shook. The whole building shook.
Rebecca, thank you for your call. And we're going to leave it there. So there you have, listeners, some ear witness accounts, mostly a little bit of eyewitness account of what happened around 9 o'clock this morning, at least how it sounded. And, of course, emergency crews are now on the scene. They're around Park Avenue and 116th Street. We don't know exactly what. We don't know exactly why. We don't know exactly how. And we don't know of any deaths or injuries at this point. I hope everybody's okay. But we will keep you posted on whatever that was over there so you can stay with WNYC for that. We continue to talk with New York Magazine reporter Chris Smith about the lack of a parks commissioner so far in the de Blasio administration. And if anybody wants to call in on that, want to nominate someone or tell us what you would look for in a parks commissioner for 2014 and a progressive agenda mayor, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Chris, as part of his progressive agenda and his mayoral campaign, did Bill de Blasio talk much about parks and his vision for parks?
No, not really, you know, other than to fit it in more broadly to the tale of two cities that, you know, some neighborhoods had gentrified and seen their parks improve as a result, you know, while folks in less glamorous and poorer neighborhoods were neglected. But he did not outline any real specific agenda as to how he was going to address that. And he, while embracing or saying positive things about Dan Squadron's idea of dedicating 20% of the private conservancy money to the poorer parks, also talked favorably about a parks conservancy for Flushing Meadows. So similar to his position on charter schools, which has obviously been dominated by the fight with Eva Moskowitz, de Blasio is more nuanced on this front than it would appear at first blush.
So this is a bill from State Senator Squadron in the state legislature. That doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere.
Correct.
And nor does it mean that Governor Cuomo would sign it, but we don't know. We don't know if it will go anywhere in the, you know, the state Senate, where Republicans have a lot of control. So what you're saying is one delay or cause of delay in appointing a parks commissioner might be that de Blasio is trying to get somebody on board to go to bat for this bill, this 20% tax, in effect, for poorer parks on conservancy donations. And have somebody take that on as a big agenda item and start talking it up, and somebody willing to do that.
That's a very real possibility. What's interesting in the practical politics, however, is just that the introduction of that bill and the circulation of this idea has all, and the election, most importantly, of de Blasio, has already had an effect, because in talking to folks who run the larger conservancies, they said, look, we're realistic. We understand the political landscape has changed. We're already talking very seriously among ourselves about how to distribute money and expertise to other parks in a bigger way. To be fair, Central Park Conservancy already assists with the planning and maintenance for parks like Marcus Garvey and Jackie Robinson Park. That hasn't gotten as much attention, but they know they have to beef up that kind of outreach to other parks in neighborhoods that either don't have the connections or the money to be generating their own private-public partnership.
So it's already at least a conversation and to some degree a source of action among the well-endowed conservancies.
Yes, they see what's coming, whoever the parks commissioner ends up being, you know, that de Blasio as mayor is going to enforce this agenda. What the mechanism turns out to be, they know they want to try to get ahead of it.
And Jeff, forgive me, I'm going to take another caller from East Harlem, because Jeff says he saw the explosion take place. Jeff, do I have that right? Hi, Jeff, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
What did you see, Jeff?
Well, I was on a M116 bus headed west on 116, and we were right underneath the, I guess you would call it, the train trestle for the Metro North,
mm-hmm.
And a horrible, huge explosion freaked everybody out on the bus, there was smoke and debris coming towards the bus immediately. The front of the windshield of our bus was shattered or cracked, I should say. You really couldn't see immediately what was going on because there was just so much smoke and debris. I saw a green cab with its back window blown out. So the bus slowly moved forward down 116 and then let us all off, and we all walked away from it. There were shattered windows and all kinds of storefronts nearby. The only thing I can say, it was very upsetting, and I can only assume that the people in our bus, we were protected somewhat because we were directly underneath the trestle.
Did you see anybody who appeared to be injured or worse?
No, other than I think there was a woman that fainted afterwards. She was in the street, but this was maybe 10 or 15 minutes later. I would say this much. The building is, whatever the building was, which I don't know, is completely collapsed and destroyed. If it was occupied, it can't turn out well.
And that, of course, is our main concern, is for the well-being of whoever was in that building or right near that building at that time. Jeff,
right.
I do want to also ask you, though, since you say you were under the Metro North train trestle at the time, Could you tell if there was any damage to the trestle? Because one of the implications here could be a longer-term disruption of Metro North service. But could you tell at all that that's a possibility or not?
No, I can't. I couldn't tell. But I will tell you this much. I know my first thought when I was on the bus was that it was something related to a train on the tracks. It was my initial, because the building and that train track, I don't know if you know it, are, you know, literally two lanes wide between the building and the track itself. So I would, of course, I'm just guessing, but I would guess there is a significant damage to that part of the trestle.
Jeff, thank you very much for your eyewitness report. We really appreciate it. And obviously, we don't know the cause of the explosion. Jeff's speculation at the moment was that it might have had something to do with the train, but the other reports that we're saying that we're getting say that it seems to be a building explosion there at 116th and Park Avenue, or right around there. And again, that fact is not known. There's no particular reason to suspect that a building in East Harlem would be a terrorism target. Things happen in buildings because of infrastructure problems or whatever all the time, unfortunately. But, of course, we will have to wait for the actual details, which we will continue to bring you as they come in to the WNYC newsroom, which has reporters on the scene. Back to Chris Smith from New York Magazine and the conversation about a potential Parks Department commissioner for the de Blasio administration. And Mary is calling in from Seaford, Long Island, with a thought about this. Hi, Mary. You're on WNYC.
Hello. At the outset, I just want to say that I'm not insensitive to the local parks, but and maybe I called up prematurely, but it incensed me when I heard that the larger conservancies, like the Central Park Conservancy, would be coerced into giving up some of their money. Now, I realize $100 million is a lot of money, and they probably do have excess money. But I also feel very strongly about Ground Roots local support and Ground Roots activism. And I think that if the people in a certain particular area, local park, if it's getting if it needs work and cleanup, I think people ought to be take it upon themselves to form a local citizens group and try to get the people actively involved and not always depend upon the larger government to get things
right.
done.
But
I
if
think
it's,
it would
of
be
course,
great,
it's
a great thing to just build up community activism.
People in a poor neighborhood may not have significant enough funds to contribute to privatize the maintenance of their parks like people around Central Park.
Okay, and I'm, as I say, and I can understand that, and $100 million goes a long way. I just don't like the idea of, and if they want to give it, as I listened later on as your program went on,
yes.
If the Conservancy understands that and they want to give some, fine.
Voluntarily,
I just don't like
you don't
the
want
idea.
Of
because
a
Central
requirement.
Park is an icon. People come from all over the world, and that should be mm-hmm. preserved, I think, more so than local parks. And if local parks my local park means something to me, mm-hmm. so I'm willing
right.
to have my tax dollars
right.
be increased to go support that. I don't expect that this philanthropist has to give money from his conservancy to support my local park that my children or grandchildren might use, the swings and the slides and the ball fields, whatever.
Mary, thank you very much. And let me get one more caller in here. Because it's Allison Tochi, the president of the City Parks Foundation, calling in. Allison, you're on WNYC. Hi, and what, just for people's context, what is the City Parks Foundation?
Well, the fact that you had to ask that question perfectly frames the issue. City Parks Foundation is the only nonprofit that works in all five boroughs across New York City to put programs in parks, but we are the folks that help start those Friends of groups. We work intensively with over 500 groups to help folks in small neighborhoods, neighborhood parks, primarily in low-income neighborhoods, to form Friends of groups to help support their local parks.
So are you advocating any person or any type of person for Parks Commissioner under Bill de Blasio? And what do you think about this bill that would require a 20% donation to smaller park conservancies from the major park conservancy donations?
I think the fact that Senator Squadron raised this issue and that the $100 million donation by John Paulson raised this issue is fantastic, because it's something that needs to be discussed and it needs to be front and center. But I reject the vilification of the conservancies, the large conservancies, or the Parks Department for that matter, and I'd like to see some good reporting that puts this all in context of, say, over the past 20 years, what has happened to parks in New York City, and without the hyperbole.
Which would be what, in your opinion?
I'm sorry?
Which would be what that's happened to parks in the last 20 years?
Central Park to look the way it used to look, or Madison Square Park to be the way it used to be. I mean, there's been tremendous progress, and there's a lot of positive going forward. But a lot of people, you know, don't know what Free Parks Foundation does, and they don't know what all of these groups, large and small, you know, we're focusing on Central Park Conservancy, which, yes, got a great, huge donation. There are tons of alliances, conservancies, friends of groups, all kinds of organizations that are contributing to the environmental impact of parks and the living space, I mean, the open spaces, and to the bottom line, and support of what the Parks Department does. And I don't think that story gets reported.
Allison, thank you for your call. And Chris Smith will wrap it up with a final comment from you. Where do you think this conversation goes? You do mention potential leading candidates, at least potential leading candidates for Parks Commissioner.
Right. But she makes great points, and this is why it's such a fascinating experiment in the de Blasio era. If he can find the sort of middle ground that's not, you know, anti private money or, you know, purely redistributist, there has to be, and there can be, several middle grounds, whether it's increasing the dedicated capital budget of the Parks Department, whether it's encouraging folks to give to the smaller parks alliances and foundations, you know, whether it's nudging the wealthier foundations to work with those groups. That's why it's a very interesting and tricky test for de Blasio. He's been given a whole bunch of names. Even over the past week or so, his transition team has been out surprisingly circulating, looking for new candidates. That's odd in some ways, because there are several good ones out there who they've talked to over the past couple of months who would seem to be logical picks. And one, I can't reveal their identity, I'm sworn to secrecy, could come from his home borough of Brooklyn. So we'll see.
Oh, that's only 2 million people.
That's right.
Chris Smith writing about who the next Parks Commissioner might be and the issues involved on the New York Magazine website. Chris, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll continue to cover the explosion in East Harlem as we get more details. And also coming up next, profits are strong on Wall Street since the financial crisis, but the number of jobs is down. New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli with a new report on that just out this morning. Stay with us.